It's sin, for everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. Everyone comes to a point where they've sinned. We are not born sinners, amen? But everyone comes to a point has sinned. We all fall short of the glorious, God's glorious standard. Verse 24, Romans chapter 3. Yet God, in His grace, freely made us right in His sight. Made us righteous or right in His sight. He did this through Jesus Christ, when He freed us from the penalty of sins. Amen. When we are born again, we are free from the dominion, the power of sin. Amen. In other words, you have power over sin, over Satan. So He made us right in His sight, which means He made us just and righteous in His sight. The word just, this verse in the New King James is translated just. Right? The word is just is used in this passage of Scripture. And the word just is also from the word righteous. And the word righteous in Greek means doing what is right. And remember, we talk about Genesis, you know, God, Jesus actually spoke to Cain, if you do what is right, why should you be angry? Right? And after that, He told him, sin is at your door. Who is at the door? Sin is a personality. Who was Jesus referring to? Satan was at your door. And yet, Jesus could not do anything about it. Amen? He said, you control it, but He didn't have the power to control. In the first place, He didn't do what was right. That was worse. Amen? Then after that, the worst thing came. He killed his brother. The first murder ever happened in the Bible. That's in Genesis. Verse 25. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. That means you believe Jesus died and rose again. Accepted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and be born again. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. He did not punish in times past before Jesus died and rose again. He did not punish them. Why? Because He's waiting to send Jesus to the earth to redeem them from their sin. Then verse 26, Romans chapter 3, for He was looking, God was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time, including those people in the past, in the present time that Jesus died and rose again. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and righteous. The word just is righteous. And He makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus Christ. So they made sinners righteous, amen, in His sight through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He made Him who knew no sin, that means Jesus, He made Him to be sin because He had never committed sin. The only way is to how to make Him sin. Jesus did not commit sin. How? He put the power of sin on Him. That's how He bore our sin. Without committing sin, He bore the power of sin. And how did God do it when He did not commit sin? God just lifted His grace from Jesus. And the power of Satan, that's the power of sin, came upon Jesus. That's why He died, right? Who knew no sin to be sin. How did God make Him to be sin? This is a noun. Sin is a noun. It represents the power of sin that is Satan. And the only way is how to make Him sin is to remove His grace. And the power of sin that is Satan is on this earth, cursing the whole earth, just came upon Jesus. Because Jesus on earth, He lay aside everything. Lay aside all His power. He's like any man, son of man. That's why when God lifted His grace from Him, the power of sin came upon Him. And there's nothing Jesus could do about it. That He made Him to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In Christ Jesus, we are made righteous. Amen. Once you know you're made righteous, you don't have a sense of unworthiness. You should not have a sense of unworthiness. You should not have a sense of guilt and condemnation. The devil will try to make you feel guilty or try to condemn you, but you should not. And righteousness as God's gift. It's not earned. That means God gives it to you freely. And you will never grow in righteousness because you have all the righteousness of God in your spirit. Amen. You grow in the fruit of righteousness that you produce. That's different. That's outward. But inward in our spirit, we are completely righteous and holy. You don't grow in righteousness. And it's a free gift. You're not earned, but given. Right? Many people think that righteousness is some kind of a state they have to attain by right living. No, that's not true. And Romans 5:17 clearly stated that righteousness is a gift we receive through Jesus Christ. This gift allows us to stand before God without any sense of guilt or condemnation or inferiority. People who have low self-esteem need to understand this truth. When God made you righteous, He is living in you. There's no need to feel inferior. Amen? You don't need to feel inferior because other people are more successful, more well-off than you. Just remember, all their branded bags are all made in China. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can't say it on, right? Amen? Don't ever feel inferior because somebody else seems to be more successful than you are. In other words, be thick-skinned. Amen? And let me tell you, boys, girls like boys like that. They know who they are. They don't feel inferior. Amen? Okay, your mother is nodding. Praise God. So the gift allows us to stand before God and without any sense of guilt and condemnation. We don't grow in righteousness. We are righteous in Christ from the moment we accept Him. We all have the same righteousness and standing with God because we are in Christ. And He is our righteousness. So all of us are equal because we are all made equally righteous. God doesn't love one of His children. Doesn't mean, you know, the Pope is more righteous than you. No. Amen. He is our righteousness. God doesn't love one of His children more than the other, and He listens equally to all His children's prayer. If God is not answering your prayer, the problem is not with God, the problem is not with me, the problem is you need to ask yourself, what's your problem? Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. I have said it many times. Let me just repeat it again. Many a time you want to know what's God's will. Instead of praying here, you decide what you want already. Oh, this looks good, so it must be God. Oh, this offer is good, must be God. No, the offer can be very good, but not necessarily it's from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? How do you know whether it's from God? You better know in your spirit. You listen to your inner man, your spirit man. You don't make a decision because the offer is so good. This boss is so good. Whatever it is, sounds so good, looks so good. Right? It may be good, but it may not be for you. It may be for good, maybe it's not for you because you're not able to handle it. Amen? That's where people get into trouble. Right or not? So, God doesn't love one Israel more than the other, and He listens equally to all His children's prayer. Understand this truth. It elevates our faith when we pray. Amen. Know you're righteous. Then the other scripture makes sense. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We come before the throne of grace to receive, obtain mercy, and find grace to help. Amen. Why we can come boldly? Because we are made righteous to come boldly before Him. We should come boldly and ask Him. You better be bold and ask Him beyond what you can imagine. The most He don't give it to you, Lord. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you ask for one, you get one. But you ask for 10, He may just give you 8 or so. Right now, why God some things He doesn't give it to you? He knows it's not His will, or He knows it's not good for you. Else, if it's in accordance to His will, He knows sometimes He knows this is not the way to do it. He still allows us to do it. One time, the Lord told Brother Hagen, He said, that's not the way I have in mind you should do it. But it's okay, you can do it your way. Because the end result is the same. The end result, it was still God's will. So, sometimes like that, He just allows us to do it our way. But because the end result is still His will. Amen? But sometimes He says, no. Amen? He knows you're going to get in trouble. Right or not? For example, you want to apply for a certain job, He tells you no, He insists. After that, you lose that job. Why? But that job for somebody else is okay. Right? Oh, everything I ask, I'll get. No, He knows you get in trouble. So He won't tell you to go and get the job there. Amen? Because He sees what's ahead, you don't. Amen? So it's best that you better empty yourself and ask, Lord, what do you have to say? If I don't have it clear, I don't move. Right? So we won't mistakenly think that God answers someone else's prayer because of their position or title. God doesn't answer Brother Hagin's prayer because he's a prophet. No, because he's the Son of God. Amen. I'll show you from Scripture. Else prayer, because of their position or title, but because of the righteousness we all have shared in Christ. Amen. So because we are made righteous, all of us can ask God. But if it is plainly stated in the Bible, you can always believe God, He will answer your prayer. For example, He said, by His stripes, by His wounds, you will heal. Amen. He will always supply all your needs. Right? You always have your needs met. But certain direction, you really need to hear from Him. Amen. But the problem is, you know why some people couldn't hear? Well, there are many reasons. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through one. That's referring to Adam. How much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign. That means we receive the grace of God and made righteous to reign in life through Jesus Christ. In other words, you reign over your own life. That means you rule over your own life through Jesus Christ. That means not whatever I want to do. Through Jesus Christ means He has a say. Amen. You rule and you reign in life. Not the devil rule and reign in your life. Amen. That means you determine your own destiny with God in Christ. Amen. In other words, the devil cannot block you. The devil cannot hinder you. A devil cannot determine your future. Amen. Neither does your parent determine. If you allow them, your parent will determine. If you allow God, God and you will determine. If they in line with God, they, you and God will determine your future. If God's one to determine your future, what do you think your future will be? Right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, how much more we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness is a gift, will reign. We are made righteous to reign over anything that's of the devil in life through one that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And we may miss it, right? But He still will lead us and guide us. When you rob God, I can tell you, you're going to miss hearing from God. Amen. If you believe, you will be consistent in your tithes and offerings. Whatever you give God, I'm going to multiply back to you. I've been pastoring this church 20 over years, 97, 25, 28 years, right? Yeah. I've been going to Shanghai for 20 years. I see the fruits. And I see the different categories of believers, Christian in my church. I thank God I don't have the problems they have in China. And I told them the only way is, you know, you teach your people the word. Praise God. So righteousness means rightness or right standing. It means the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt and condemnation. And righteousness is a gift. Amen. Then there's no self-condemnation. You don't even condemn yourself. You think you have not been treating your son or daughter, you know, the way you discipline, you feel so bad. You stop it. You get what I'm saying? Not? Because, very simple, you're not perfect. You're not a perfect father, you're not a perfect mother. Right? You may make wrong decisions, you may deal with your children in a harsh manner. Forget it, get over it. If they have God in their life, God will bring them up. God will raise them up. God will raise them up to the man and the woman they should be. Now stop condemning yourself. Amen. That's exactly what the devil wants. It makes you feel condemned. If you rely on yourself, then that's how you're going to feel. You're going to fail. You're going to fail in some area, some time in life. You're going to fail. Nobody is perfect. So you will fail. You will fail in raising up your children. You will fail in making some decision. Get over it. Amen. Don't condemn yourself because God is greater than your mistake. He will lead you, guide you. He will bless. Don't go worry about all kinds of stuff because you read, you know. Huh? I was thinking, how come other mothers, they raise up children, they're not worried about this, not worried about that. Why you worry about this, worry about that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I look back for Emmanuel. Phew, man. And now Lynn tells me, oh, he starts talking already. Every time I think back of that day, he was in ICU, you know. Praise God. Don't go worry about all this, worry about that. Don't go condemn yourself. Just remind yourself you are not perfect father neither. You're perfect mother. Amen. You know who's perfect there? The one who sits on the throne up there. hey man, and he's able to help you to raise up your, because it's not your child and you're just a biological parent. You know who's the real father? There, up there. Because the spirit and soul came from there, up there. Amen. He will help you to raise up your children. Amen. Right? Put them in faith. You will get them born again. Then they will have the gift of righteousness. So, gift of righteousness is the gift that we receive now. We do not grow in righteousness. We are righteous in Christ. We all have the same righteousness and standing with God because we are in Christ and He is our righteousness. God doesn't love one more than the other. Amen. And the power of righteous prayer, it makes tremendous power available. And we are just like Elijah, as we're going to read in James chapter 5 verse 16. Elijah was just like us, was a human being with feelings and a constitution like us, yet his prayer stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Not because he's a prophet. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Spirit led him to pray and gives the Holy Spirit manifest for that miracle. Amen. So the power of righteous prayer. Amen. He made us righteous to pray powerful prayers. Amen. James chapter 5 verse 16, Amplified Version. The earnest, heartfelt prayer of who? First, righteous. Then the righteous pray. Pray in tongues. Pray the prayer, supplication. Because you are made righteous to pray. Amen. That means you can come before God, before the throne of grace. Amen. To receive His grace to help you to pray. And it makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Then the next verse, 17. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and constitutions like ours. And he prayed earnestly. He didn't say he was a prophet who prayed. Amen. He was like us. And in those days, his righteousness was because he was doing what is right. He does not have the nature of righteousness in his spirit because he was not born again when he was alive. He was still righteous because he was doing what was right. He has the right standing with God, but he did not have the gift of righteousness. Yet he prayed and there was no rain. There was no rain and he prayed. How could he do that? Because he was a prophet? No, because God led him to pray. There's no way there's such a miracle if he just by his own self decided to pray no rain. Amen. That's why first thing is every time listen to the Holy Spirit inside you before you make any decisions, especially major decisions in life. Amen. Sometimes you talk into missing God. You keep telling yourself, I'm going to do this, 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 I'm going to do this. One day you do it because you say it, right? That's how you miss God. That's how people miss God. They keep saying, I want to change job, I want to change job, I want to change job, I want to change job. I want to go here, I want to migrate. They keep saying, one day you come to pass because you have what you say. Life and death lies in the power of your tongue. Amen. He didn't say Elijah was a prophet and he prayed no rain. He said he was human. He's like one of us. Amen. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain and not. How could he do that? How could a man do such a human do such a thing? Only way is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then the gifts of the Holy Spirit stopped the rain and started to rain. Amen. Praise God. He was like one of us. Another version says, Elijah was just like us, was one of us. In other words, he's just like a man. And he prayed. But before that, that means he was righteous. He prayed. Before verse 16 says, the prayer of the righteous man. Elijah was like one of us, righteous in God's sight. The prayer of the righteous man. Elijah was like one of us. He was righteous in God's sight. He didn't have the gift of righteousness because Jesus didn't come yet. But he has the right standing with God. He was doing what is right because what God told him to do, God called him to do, he obeyed God. Amen. That means you are made righteous. You have the gift of righteousness. You don't have to obey God. Huh? You don't have to obey the Holy Spirit. That's why I say, listen to your spirit. Amen. Without fail, people who rob God with tithes and offerings, one day sure pay the price. It's just when only. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous. Elijah was like us, righteous, and he prayed. The prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available. How do you make tremendous? You pray, you force the power of the Holy Ghost. No, when we are righteous, we pray, the Holy Spirit releases His power. Elijah was like one of us. He was righteous and he prayed. The Holy Ghost led him to pray. The Holy Ghost manifests His gift and the power of the Holy Ghost was released and the rain stopped and the rain started. Elijah prayer. He prayed because he was a righteous man. It was the prayer of the righteous man, not because he was a prophet. Amen. See that? Get rid of self-condemnation. Get yourself up there to pray. And many times what you should do is you come into the presence of God, you worship Him. You come into the presence of God, you wait upon Him. You come into the presence of God, you build yourself up, edify yourself. You come into the presence of God, another thing you should do is fellowship with Him. How you fellowship with Him? Just talk to Him. What do I say to Him? Speak in tongues. Don't know what to say. And speak in tongues. Oh, thank you, Father. That means when you fellowship with Him, not necessarily praying for anything. Amen. The sixth key is fellowship. Why you fellowship with Him? Because that's when you hear from Him. Amen. Praise God. Verse 17. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as us, but when he prayed, his prayer was a prayer of a righteous man, not because he was a prophet. Amen. Prophets are servants. We are all sons of God. Our status, our relationship with God the Father is higher than all the fivefold ministries. Our relationship with God is higher than the prophets and the apostles. They are all servants of God. First, I'm a child of God, then I'm a servant of God. And you are a child of God, then you ought to be a servant of God also. Amen. What's the difference? Child of God, get what you want from the Father. Servant of God, do what He says. Amen. So, it is a righteous man or woman who makes tremendous power available in prayer. Then the verse says, Elijah was like us. Then we can approach God with confidence, 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 confidence. Confidence, even though you miss it, be confident. Amen. You get into self-condemnation and unworthiness and you devalue your worth, you get less. Just because you make one mistake, you're going to apply for a job that's much lower. Then you get lesser pay because it affects your confidence. What? Amen? Bring it up, right? Lift it up, your confidence. Be realistic, right? Be realistic. Do a self-evaluation in the past. I'm this good. Don't devalue yourself just because of one mistake. Amen? Or 10 mistakes, right? First, you can come before God because you're righteous. Two, you can always come before His throne of grace and always have grace to help you. Three, don't devalue yourself. Amen. Students, the same. In the past, you've done well. You can do it again. Don't devalue yourself just because of past mistakes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what are you going to do next time you make a mistake? Oh, man, your children see, my father, mother, all no confidence already. Huh? Then your children grow up in a family, parents got no confidence. You're infusing them with that kind of environment. No, you bring yourself back up again. I mean, don't over-evaluate yourself. I mean, your worth is only a road sweeper. Don't go and tell me you're going to be a president of a bank, right? Amen? Praise God. So what you should do, approach God with confidence and seek Him, ask Him for the new direction. He said, do it, then do it. Don't let your past failures, whatever it is, you know, thumb you down and bring you down. You need to lift yourself up with the confidence. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you approach God with confidence because you are made righteous. Don't carry the baggage of self-condemnation. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look back what you have achieved. That means you could do it. I mean, you couldn't, you know, a long time ago, you couldn't really. I mean, if you've been straight A's, then you could do it. Very simple, right? So what's the difference before then and now, right? So easy somehow. I don't have to do O-level now. You. Thank you, Jesus. So approach God with confidence. Stand without guilt. Amen. Get rid of it. Don't feel guilty. Amen. Thank God for His blood that cleanses us. We can stand before the Father in Christ's righteousness without any sense of guilt and condemnation. It's not your righteousness. It's His. Amen. His means the ability to stand before God without any guilt and condemnation and inferiority. Then you pray boldly. Ask Him both. And I'm talking about especially pray for yourself. Right? You be bold. Now, pray for others is two different issues. The other person is involved. Hey, man, I can be bold. Not necessarily I can get answers for that person because he is involved. Amen? But for yourself, you can always be bold. But knowing we are righteous, we prayed with assurance that Father always hears and answers our prayers. So does it not lift your highest level of kind of faith, especially when it comes to prayer? And then He said, come before the throne of grace. That means no condition. He doesn't say, no, the throne of grace means no condition. You can always come before the throne of grace and ask Him, say, Lord, Heavenly Father, how now? What should I do? I want to see that this is the direction. So I'm going that way. You must provide and you must help me. You must give me the wisdom and understanding to do well. Amen. Bo, when you know you're righteous, you don't feel condemned. I'm telling you, condemnation, guilt will quench your boldness and your self-worth. You think you are not good enough. You think you are not able. Look back what you have achieved. I mean, in the past, you achieved nothing, then nothing to look back. Then look forward. Maybe you should ask somebody else, how much can I do? Amen. Then approach the throne of God boldly. Come before His throne of grace, and you will produce. Then what do you do? Produce the fruit of righteousness. As we live the fruits of the Spirit, we produce more of the fruit of righteousness in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. When we know we are righteous, when we are bold, we know that His throne is a throne of grace, we will pray with the highest kind of faith. Because we will pray with confidence, we know He will always guide us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Knowing we are righteous, we will be bold. We will boldly come before the throne of grace with a higher kind of faith or level of faith. When your faith is a higher level, because you have the higher kind of faith, you will be bold. Amen. We all have the fruit. Amen. So, God is our righteousness. At the new birth, God became our righteousness when He imparted His nature, His eternal life, when we are born again in us. Amen. And Jesus became our righteousness the moment we took Him as our Lord, Savior, and confessed Him to be our Lord, and we become a new creation. He became our Lord, our head, and our very life, making us a new creation in Him. Amen. He's our head. He's the head of my life. He's the Lord of my life. How could there not be a future? Thank you, Father. So, understanding the new creation is very important. Let me just... One, we are a spirit. We have a soul. We are not the soul. And we live in the body. I explained to you why I want to emphasize this more today, this morning, more for the Chinese listening online. Only our spirit is in Christ, not our soul. And He made our spirit a new creation, not our soul. Our spirit is made righteous, not the soul. Our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, is not yet perfect. It's been transformed through renewal. Our body, physical body, still has its limitation, will be fully redeemed in the future. It has a sinful nature. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you know, this teaching is going around in China. Our spirit and soul are perfect because we are born again, right? But this scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, is your body in Christ? Cannot be. He has a sinful nature. This body will die. Amen. Is our soul in Christ? Is our soul righteous? If your soul is righteous, our mind always will think what is right. Our will to make decisions will always obey God. Amen. We won't have, emotional topsy-turvy, right? I don't have pastors who need to see psychiatrists, see psychologists, and take medication. All these years taking medication, if your mind is made righteous, right or not? If your mind is in Christ, Christ is in your mind, you won't have mental problem. I mean, God is in your mind, is there a mental problem? This teaching going around, spirit, soul, and body is perfect. If the body is perfect, it won't die. Amen? So if anyone is in Christ, this scripture, you ask yourself, anyone in Christ, which part of you that's in Christ? They just read, oh man, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things become new. There, all things become new. So spirit, soul, and body all new. Then they say, my body is not new. What? If my body is new, I'm telling you today. You know what they say? Oh, by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing from the Word of God. Which scripture tells you that your body is new? See? All is new. But he says, if anyone is in Christ, all has become new. Unless you say the body is in Christ, Christ is in your body. If Christ is in your body won't die. If Christ is in your body, you'll be like Jesus. His body was never sick when He was on earth. Even when He was hung on the cross, He was never sick. He was not sick physically. See that? Amen. If Jesus Christ is in our soul and our mind, we'll be like Jesus. We'll always obey God. Jesus always obeyed God when He was the Son of Man on earth. Right? He didn't have mental problems. He didn't have emotional problems, psychological problems. He needs psychiatrists. Heavenly Father, I pray those people need to hear this message in China. Let them hear. Move them to hear. Let's compare Jesus on earth. His body was perfect. His body was perfect. Jesus was virgin birth. That's why his body, the second man whose body was perfect was Jesus. The first was Adam. And Jesus, even when he hung on the cross, he was not afflicted with sickness. Right? He was oppressed with the spirit of sickness. Amen. Satan oppressed his spirit. His body was not afflicted with sickness. He did not have cancer when he was on the cross. And Jesus' body was perfect. If Jesus is in your body, none of you will ever be sick on this earth. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, then all things have become new. Your spirit is the only one that's in Christ. Christ is in your spirit. Amen. And that's where your spirit is all new. Amen. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Is our body reconciled? Not yet. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talk about the enemy of God, the last enemy, there's death. Death needs to be dealt with in the end when Jesus comes. And death afflicts our body. The spirit of death afflicts our body with sickness. Amen. And sometimes through tragedies, that's how death afflicts others. Right? If all things are body in Christ, then there's no death that comes upon our body. Our body won't die. All things are of God. Our body does not belong to God now. In fact, Jesus spoke to the Pharisee, your father is the devil, is Satan. How it become? Their father is Satan. They take on the nature of Satan. Their spirit and soul took on the nature of Satan. The religious people, the Pharisees. And they are experts in Judaism. And Judaism came out of the law of Moses. All things are of God. Your body belongs to God. It belongs to God because of the Holy Spirit dwelling there. Amen. If your body is made by God, from God, it will be perfect. It doesn't have this nature, right? It belongs to God because you dedicated to God, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Amen. Or else it doesn't belong to God. Anything that belongs to God doesn't die. Amen. Because the day comes, He's going to give us a new body that will not die. Amen. That's a spiritual body. Now, all things are of God. No, it doesn't say belong to God. All things are of God. Originally, Adam and Eve, their bodies came from God. But after that, both of them gave birth to all kinds of bodies on this earth. Who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Our body is not reconciled yet. Amen. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We need to go and get other people to believe Jesus. Amen. Verse 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Huh? How you explain those people who done all kinds of evil, including governments? They are so evil. How could they have been reconciled? In Jesus, as far as Jesus is concerned, He died for the whole world. They have been reconciled to God. But they need to receive, accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Then they are actually embrace the reconciliation. But here the scripture says, as far as God is concerned, when Jesus died for the whole world, nobody needs to go to hell. Actually, in the sight of God, Jesus actually saved the whole world. But the whole world needs to be saved. That's the difference. The whole world needs to get saved. They need to accept Him to be saved. So it's unconditional. Right now, don't go tell people, you need to confess your sin to receive Jesus. They don't need to. Because it's by grace, through faith. Faith is here that Jesus died and rose again. By grace, through faith, then unconditional. They can just accept Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And after that, go and worship whatever they want to go and worship. So don't go and tell somebody, you need to give up your religion. No need. Unconditional. If they want to worship their ancestors, never mind. It's okay. Go and worship your ancestors. But I want to go and burn incense to my ancestors. Oh, it's okay. You accept Jesus first, then go and burn all you want. It's unconditional. Why if it's unconditional, why must attach a condition? No, you cannot. Unconditional. Right on. So Hitler, the last minute before he died, he accepted Jesus, you died for me, rose again. I accept you to be a Lord and Savior. He doesn't have to confess his sin of executing 6 million Jews. He will be saved. You'll see Hitler in heaven, but I don't think so. He's in heaven. I don't think so. I don't know. So Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing the trespasses of sin. So you see, He does not, because He paid the price of sin. So He's not imputing. They say, you've done wrong. No, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us. He will not impute any sin or wrongdoing. You make a mistake, you pay the price. That's all. It's just a matter how big the price. Amen? Some people, the price is millions of dollars. Some people, the price is not so big, but it still may cause you hardship. right? You pay the price if you don't follow him, you don't listen, don't obey him. But he does not impute your trespasses and say, see, and judge you for what you have done. He cleanses you, then he leads you again if you seek him. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We need to go and share the gospel with others. Verse 20, now that we are ambassadors for Christ, let me go and share and tell people about Jesus Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implored you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We have reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So only our spirits is in Christ. He made our spirit a new creation, and God did not make any unrighteousness or unworthy creatures. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness and have his gift of righteousness, so that we can come and stand before him, before his throne of grace, without any sense of guilt and condemnation and inferiority or low self-esteem. And the Holy Spirit made us new creation and righteous in Christ. Many believers cannot receive their healings and deliverance and live victorious life because they think they are not worthy and unrighteous. Don't let your past defeat you, hold you back, limit you, make you think you cannot, you may not. Amen. If you've done it before, you can do it again. I don't care how many times you fail. Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Overcoming barriers to faith. Recognize false beliefs. Identify thoughts of unworthiness that blocks your faith. Embrace your righteousness. Accept your right standing with God through Christ. That means you can always come before him and ask him to help you. All right? Get rid of those thoughts of not able that limits yourself and come before God. Lord, what do you think? Can I? What should I do? Right? Amen. But at the same time, you don't want to be overconfident. You're overconfident, that means, you know, you're not what you are. Like, you just think too highly of yourself only. Amen. But at the same time, don't limit yourself. All right? Praise God. Ask the Lord, Lord, this is the direction to go, then I'll go. Thank you, Lord. This is what the plan you have for me. Thank you, Lord. I'll step into it. But meantime, you know, pray and obey him. Amen. Then you live victoriously. Receive healing, deliverance, victory in Christ. Direction in Christ. Amen. Understanding our righteousness in Christ removes these barriers and allows us to walk with the fullness of God's promises. Amen. You will walk into God's fullness of his promises. Amen. You will. You will in Jesus' mighty name. Ozaman jigiri omre shtehi. Deshur man jinumra shtele undo sone. Amen. Thank you, Father, we give you praise. And the 60 fellowship with the Father. This is our highest honor. We are in joint fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a divine invitation. We are called into fellowship with Christ Jesus. And this is the foundation of our joy, fellowship that makes our joy complete. Because we can talk to the King of Kings. You may not talk to the Pope, amen, but you can talk to the King of Kings that's higher than any Pope. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom we are called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Fellowship means you don't ask him anything, just talk to him. And if you don't know what to say to him, just talk to him in tongues. Amen. You know that you can fellowship with him. Why? You will lift your faith high. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Talk to him. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We are called into fellowship. You are called to just fellowship, not asking for anything. Means what? Fellowship is two ways. That means he will talk to you. He will communicate with you. He will fellowship with you. Amen. Because he's your Father, your heavenly Father. He's your Father that's more real than your earthly father. But I can see my earthly father, no, he's more real. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you are also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to find your friend. Jesus is your friend. After talk to Jesus, your friend, then go and talk to your other friends. Many times, young people, they're always going to find your friend and they also got no answer for you. Why don't you go talk to Jesus, who is your friend? So we are called into fellowship. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Many times, you don't have to pray anything. When you fellowship with him, very often, you keep the communication channel open. then it's easy for you to hear from him, correct or not? And easy for him to tell you things that you don't know. You're not even asking, suddenly he reveals things to you. Amen? I mean, he can reveal secrets. I mean, especially girls, when you talk to your best friend, then you talk to each other, tell each other secrets, right, correct or not? Then the Father will tell you secrets. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, and this thing we write to you that your joy may be full. When you fellowship with him, amen, it brings joy. Oh, mesomoram de. And you know you're righteous, then you go into fellowship with him. And there's no condemnation. He won't condemn you even though when you missed it. When you fellowship with him, he'll guide you. He'll show you gently, you know. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, first we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. His blood continues to cleanse us. Amen. So we are called into fellowship with God the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then prayer is a rest, right? Not a struggle. Results, restful communion with fellowship with the Father who call us into fellowship with the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And prayer is a rest, not a struggle. It becomes a natural extension of our relationship with him. Oh, naturally, you know, when you have a need, you just come before him and say, Father, messed up. I messed up. I messed up. Right? Oh, Lord. How, Lord? I know you guide me. You take me out of this. Right? Amen. And it's a divine communication. Prayer is fellowship with the Father in Christ Jesus, communion with the Father and communication with the Father. It's a two-way conversation where we both speak and listen. And fellowship is not always you speak. Right? Listen. You mean not two ways. Amen. And it's supernatural. You receive supernatural guidance when necessary. As we fellowship with the Father, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, we are in his presence because you are made righteous. Amen. And you can always come boldly in front of him to fellowship with him. And there's nothing he will not tell us, right? I told you already. I read the news and say, man, there's a major earthquake coming. It's bad, 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 bad in Japan. I listen, I still go. Doesn't say anything. And there's a psychic, a Japanese psychic. She predicted two disasters in Japan before. She predicts, you know, the big earthquake is going to be in July in Japan. But, you know, sometimes you need to shut it off. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. If not careful, you're going to listen to all these psychics and whoever. And so on, she predicted two before. Well, she didn't predict from God because the devil knows. Right? And the devil truly tells you, say, such thing will happen. He's the one who caused it to happen. Right? So he tells you, so of course he fulfills what? You're not careful, you don't go because you are the psychic says so. Then you're listening to the psychic instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we are going to Japan. First thing, you better tell me and let me hear for you. So. Right? Amen? It cannot be one. I will know. You're in this church, you go to Japan, there's an earthquake that hits and you're there, I will know. Amen? He will guide and counsel us. So nothing will take us by surprise. Amen. You will not be surprised by it. So the highest honor that the Father has ever conferred upon us to be joint fellowship with himself, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the benefits of divine fellowship. You grow spiritually. You receive divine guidance. Well, you sense the peace of God more so. And you have answered prayers because nothing they won't tell you. You fellowship with him. Right? And of course, there's protection and there's joy. If there's danger, of course, he will tell you, right on. So it brings numerous benefits to our spiritual lives, natural lives. Divine guidance helps us to navigate life's challenges while spiritual peace calms our heart in any circumstance. Our prayers receive answers as we align with God's will and our joy becomes complete in his presence. This fellowship also accelerates our spiritual growth and provides divine protection. Because he will show us, tell us if there's danger. If we cultivate this relationship, I mean, we have a relationship with God, but we must cultivate this fellowship. Amen. We experience the fullness of what God intends for us as his children. We will experience. So bring it all together. Know God's word. Embrace his redemption, recognizing what Christ has accomplished for us. First is know God's word. Understand the integrity and truth of Scripture. Thirdly, fellowship with the Father, enjoying communion with the Heavenly Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, live as new creation, walking in a new identity in Christ. That means we are righteous and stand in righteousness, approach God without guilt and condemnation. Be bold. Amen. Be bold to come before Him. Be bold to look into the future. Amen. Because the Father has a plan, has something for you. Amen. Then we can rely on the Holy Spirit, drawing on His indwelling presence and power. Because we are righteous, we can pray and make tremendous power available. We pray and we always will get answers to prayer. You will always get answers to prayer because you are made righteous. And you pray, you are praying the prayer of the righteous man and woman. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. So, today we study know the reality of our righteousness in Christ. Know the reality of our fellowship with the Father. These two keys will bring us to a higher level of faith or highest kind of faith in prayer. We will come boldly before God the Father's throne without any sense of condemnation and guilt and inferiority. We will not have any sense of unworthiness. And we will make tremendous power available through prayer for ourselves and for others, for our own self. And then we walk into the future and complete the plan God has for you. And your life will be blessed and you'll be a blessing to others around you. And you'll be a blessing to this church. Amen. Then I'll be a blessing to the people in China. Amen. Praise God. So, the highest kind of faith. We studied two keys explored today as a building block for the highest kind of faith, right? Six keys altogether. And you build 100% confidence in us, assurance we can have in approaching God. Amen. With this key, we can boldly come before God's throne of grace without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority or unworthiness. So as righteous believers in fellowship with God, we make tremendous power available through our prayer lives, unlocking the highest kind of faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the 20th year. When I go in China and pray with them, it has an impact in their lives and in the nations. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm bold to pray. I'm bold to come before the throne of grace because I've been made righteous. I have the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse and cover me in Jesus' mighty name. And I have the power and the Holy Spirit and His power in me to guide me and lead me to pray and to make tremendous power available because when I pray, I make prayer of the righteous man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. This year is a new beginning for us, for this church in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.